This is Tiger Woods, and welcome to another golf podcast presented by Bridgestone.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of another golf podcast presented by Bridgestone. I'm Adam Rayberg from Bridgestone Golf. So happy you guys are back for another episode. We have a really good one coming up. But I have Amelia from a remote location. Amelia, tell us where you are and kind of what's happening and how you're kind of calling in here.
Yes, so if you hear any background noise, I'm currently in the airport at the Bahamas. We stepped right off of Albany Golf Club where they play the Hero Challenge Tigers Tournament. And we had a college event there, and it was 3 days of 20 miles an hour wind, and we ended up pulling out the win, so, which is really exciting. So next week in Golfstat, hopefully we move to that number one spot. But it's crazy. So this week we won at 11 over par. Last week we played in Florida, and we won at 43 under par. So that just shows
43
under. So that just shows how hard this golf course was. The greens are 65% smaller than the PGA Tour average. So pretty crazy. But yeah, kind of a whirlwind over here. Lot going on, but such a great trip and excited to get back in the U.S.
Well, congratulations on the team win, and I'll be anxiously awaiting those rankings to see, yes, if Wake moved up to that number one spot. I think you guys did. Good play in this week. And, yeah, Albany is such a great golf course. You know, they play the Hero out there, and, you know, the it's known for its wind, right? It's always windy no matter what. So, yep. Congratulations to the team. Par's just a number. You know, obviously you're 40 under par in your last tournament. So, congrats. You guys are, like, 2-2, right? To start
the
season.
Yes, we're 2-2. So it's really exciting. It's a special team. So we're even more motivated for, you know, our next tournament. In just 7 days, I think we leave again. So quite a busy spring season. But we have a really special guest that we recently spoke with, Lexi Thompson. Mm-hmm. And I had so much fun with this podcast. I mean, those 20-30 minutes went by so fast.
Yes, it felt just like having a conversation with a friend, and Lexi's so cool, and she's so laid back, and all the questions, she answered them so great. So let's just get right into it, especially before your seat gets called and you have to get on the plane. So let's get right to Lexi.
Lexi, we're so glad you're here. Welcome to the podcast, another golf podcast presented by Bridgestone. Off-season's wrapping up here, and you're about to start in a lot of tournaments, a lot of weeks on the road. But any matches with your brothers in the off-season that got particularly intense?
Yeah, when do they not get intense? that's a better question. Yeah, we've played a lot of golf together. It was nice having the off-season. We were all home, practicing, playing every morning. We're usually off at 7:15, first group out. We don't want to wait, so... a lot of trash talking. But yeah, we have our matches. We usually don't say it, but we're always playing each other.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like the few tees up. My dad's in my cart, and they're on their own back there.
Yeah, so. Everyone knows the score.
Yeah, We know what's up.
You know where you stand.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's when it all begins.
How do you guys figure who's kind of leading in the family as far as the better golfers at world rankings, or you just kind of know?
That'd be pretty obvious.
Right? Exactly. That's where I'm leading this.
Honestly, I don't know if we go off ranking. It's more of these matches that we have out on our home course. It's a battle out there. A lot of trash talking. Curtis just gives it out there. But it's fun. It's like everybody's making noise in each other's swings and just trash talking. So it really gets us ready for our tournaments. We're really focused. It doesn't really matter kind of what happens out there because we're used to all the noise and trash.
So Curtis is the biggest trash talker.
Mm-hmm. Them two together, Curtis and Nick, I'm like, I'm staying out of this. I'm like, I throw in my digs here and there when I can. Yeah. Gosh, they're nonstop.
Yeah.
You're just more of a shower rather than a talker.
Yeah, exactly. But I get my little zingers in there and just show them what's up.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, those world ranking stands. Yeah. Settings. Yeah, exactly.
We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Lexi Thompson. If you're looking for the right golf ball for your game, head over to bridgestonegolf.com and get fit. I got fit and I play the Tour B RX.
Now back to the show.
Let's talk about kind of your season, past seasons and this season. What's some goals going into 2023? What are you most looking forward to?
What I'm most looking forward to this year, you know, our U.S. Women's Opens at Pebble Beach. I only got to play it as of recent, maybe 4 months ago for the first time, and it was just a beautiful spot. So I'm really looking forward to being there. And then Solheim Cups this year as well. Anytime I can represent my country, I want to be on that team wearing my country's colors. So those are definitely two goals. You know, I want to win the U.S. Women's Open, but it's a long week, so just have to take it one shot at a time.
U.S. Open, how many is this going to make for you? This is like 25th U.S. Open or something. Yeah. Like that.
You haven't missed one since 12.
Yeah.
It's pretty freaking good.
Yeah, my first one was at 12, so pretty amazing experience. My first one was at Pine Needles, and that's where we played last year.
So I was like, wow,
I remember this spot. Yeah. A little difference in the distance that I had from 12 years old.
Right, I imagine so.
I could handle a little bit better this year or this past year.
Let's talk about that. What was that like? Was that your first major when Pine Needles at 12?
Mm-hmm.
It was? Okay.
Yep.
Talk about that. Like, you're walking in the locker room, like, your mom's driving you up, like.
No, we did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Did you get stopped? Like, here's the kids' fan zone to get autographs. Like, you're 12 years old. Yeah,
that's too funny. Yeah. So we drove up, my parents and I, because it's not too far of a drive. Mm-hmm. But I was practicing my autograph on the way up because I've never signed anything.
Right.
So I'm like, I have all these sheets of paper, just trying to practice it, and I'm like doing it slow, and my parents are like, well, you're gonna have to speed that up a little bit. I'm like, okay. So that was my practice on the drive up, and then I was just kind of a whirlwind. I was out there and I was like with Lorena or Annika, and I was just seeing them and like my role models that I looked up to and watched on TV. So it was an amazing experience. Of course, I couldn't reach some of the fairways. I was like playing for like the mode strips out there, like going up to the fairways on a few. So, but it was eye-opening because when I played there, I was like, all right, this is what I want to do.
Right.
And I was like, I'm going to work my butt off to be able to play professionally within the next few years. Mm-hmm. So I did online schooling, practiced hours a day, and was able to do so.
Yeah. That's so, so cool to hear you share that. I mean, it's pretty fascinating just to see the discipline that it takes to be really good. You know, everyone watches on TV and sees the highlights, right? They're showing only the pretty much the birdies and all the good shots.
Yeah.
But you talked a little bit about some outcome goals. But what are the process goals that you have, those everyday things that make you as good as you are?
Mm-hmm. You know, growing up, I've always been a very determined person. Wake up early, whether it was from doing online schooling and practicing 7-8 hours a day. I was up at 6 a.m. doing schoolwork for a few hours, going out to practice for those 6 to 7 hours straight, and then doing a few more hours of schoolwork and training on top of that. So, and I'm still in that type of lifestyle. I just don't have the schoolwork. So, you know, I'm up at 6:30, and I'm either at the gym first thing or on the golf course by 7. So I'm always training and just trying to improve on, whether it's from the smallest thing to the biggest thing each and every day, on and off the golf course, mentally, physically. There's always something to improve on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So let's kind of revert back to Pebble. Like, what are you most looking forward to about Pebble? I mean, obviously 18 is amazing. You talked about playing it before. Like, what's the one thing you're looking forward to about Pebble?
Just being there. That was my first time just a few months ago being there, and it was just beautiful. We got perfect weather. It was in the 70s, blowing miles per hour. And everybody was like, don't get used to that.
Yeah, right.
Because it won't be like that. I'm like,
ready for 20.
Yeah. I'm like, well, I want to get used to it. But it was just absolutely beautiful. I've seen the pictures and I've heard, and words can't really describe it unless you're out there. So I'm just looking forward to having that big of an event. You know, the U.S. Women's Opens have become, well, just our majors in general have been on more and more prestigious golf courses. So it's great to be at Pebble, and I think it'll be an amazing venue for us ladies. So we're all looking very much forward to it.
Yeah, it's just so amazing. It's so cool to see what the USGA has done just to continue to elevate specifically women's golf, but their championships in general are just absolutely unreal. And kind of on a similar note, I mean, I feel every time you're playing, you're always in contention, which just shows how great of a player you are. But it's so hard to win on the LPGA.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you define success? You know, you can't just define it based on winnings. You have to do it in some other way. So how do you define success?
Yeah, I would say just consistency for me. Mm-hmm. There's always things that I'm trying to improve on in my game or the mental side of things. I would say if I'm enjoying myself more and being more relaxed on the golf course, that's when I perform better. But we're always going to have our bad days or our bad shots. So, and Sundays where they don't happen to work out in our favor. So it's a matter of learning from something like that and taking it into the next event and really accomplishing it the next time. Or even if you don't, just continue to pick out little things that you can continue to strive for and improve on. And that's the thing, because in golf, you're going to lose a lot more than you win, unfortunately. And that's why we're crazy for playing the game. But you learn so much through the good and the bad. I mean, I blame a lot of my successes because of my failures, because I've learned so much from them.
Yeah, that's really powerful.
Yeah, it's you know, in baseball, you go 1-for-3, you're in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You win 20% of the time on golf, you're one of the greatest to ever play the game. So winning is so tough, it's so hard to kind of get there. But yeah, success, I agree, like the consistency of it. I mean, we just talked about you playing in the U.S. Open when you're 12 years old. And, you know, it feels like you've been in your prime for like decades. So it's really cool to watch that. And let's kind of talk a little bit about the second thing you were saying you were looking forward to, the Solheim Cup. Talk about the Solheim Cup, like what gets you up, or what kind of partner are you maybe, and you know, maybe some of your leadership. Do you feel like now you've moved into like, I'm a leader, or are you still like, I'm just a player and I want to kind of be with the captains and stuff? That's a lot of questions.
I know.
We have a lot to ask her.
Jason Bateman question. Yeah, sorry.
A little bit of everything. You know, a lot of the captains of the teams, they say I'm one to mold with everybody. Like we do personality tests and see who matches up the best.
Oh, that's cool.
But I'm just kind of in the middle. They call me a floater.
There you
go. I can just go with whoever, because I mean, I feel like I can get along with everybody. And but I've been in quite a few Solheim Cups, so they like to say I'm a veteran, I guess. But I'm like, I don't know about that. But I mean, I just want to be there for my partner, and I want the same from them. You know, if they hit a bad shot, I'm here to pick them up. You know, as hard as it is when you're competing for your country and your partner beside you, there's a lot more pressure, a lot more at stake. So you take a little bit of a harder hit than when it's just you. So it's important to have that person by your side cheering you up and, you know, being there for you. But I love it. There's no better feeling than teeing it up on the first hole and hearing the chants. Might not hear as many of them in Spain, but there's nothing better, or making a putt, fist pumping, and just hearing the crowd. No better feeling. It's my favorite event by far.
Yeah, golf can turn into such a individual sport, right? It's all about you all the time. You practice by yourself, and then you guys get Solheim Cup, and then there's President's Cup and Ryder Cup, to where there's like a team aspect. And sure would love to see a lot more team, you know, oriented golf. Would be really fun. Favorite Solheim Cup moment? Do you have one that you can pull out of your head?
One of my best shots is from Solheim, and it was a putt. It was from Des Moines, and it was my eagle putt on 15, I believe. I don't know what that was to put the match, but it was about a 35-40 footer, and it broke about like 10 feet.
Oh my gosh.
And I've played it so many times on YouTube, and it was just the green was surrounded by people like five deep, and it gives me chills every time I watch it. It's just special moments like that. You're like, all right, this is what I play for. And I think that's what's so amazing about team golf. I think it brings out a different talent in people. Like you see people that have just played average. They have a few good events here and there. But when you get a team event, they really rise to the occasion and perform unbelievably. I mean, even though they have leading up to it, but it really brings out an aggressive play or coming under pressure under those times, making those putts.
I know.
Pressure is a privilege. That's what I've heard.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Team golf is so much fun. I've played on two Curtis Cups now. There's nothing better. Yeah. My first one was in Wales.
Oh, nice.
And it was so cool. Just how many people were there. How many people love golf and love amateur golf. It's just incredible. One thing that I always find enjoyable just to kind of observe in a team is just the different personalities. You know, you have the team mom, you have the DJ, you have the one that's kind of the jokester. Where do you fit in that mold? And are there some other players that you know for sure, they're, you know, the funny one, they're going to cause ruckus, they're the ones that always are on aux.
Yeah. I would say in the last few, Megan Kang has been the personality. And
okay,
the bubbly one.
I can see that.
Yeah, and kind of the DJ and kind of everything else.
Yeah, yeah.
But like Michelle Wee was always DJ too, and there's just so many personalities.
Yeah.
I don't want to say I would be the mom of the team. I mean, I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But I am always there for people, like if they need me or whatever. I mean, mm-hmm. I'll make people sandwiches if they want them. Yeah. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
But that's what's so great about team events. I think you see a different side of people. You get to, you know, learn them, and you build these friendships that you don't get the opportunity in just the regular events of individual and being like, all right, I want to kick your butt this week.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
You're trying to beat them the week before.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
You're rooting for them.
Yeah, you learn their personality, you learn their game, and you build that friendship, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really, can't wait for the Solheim Cup
this year.
Oh
my gosh, it's going to be so fun.
Let's shift the golf ball here real quick. We have some prototype ball testing coming up with you soon. We're going to kind of be going down that route. First of all, what ball do you play, and kind of why does that golf ball fit your game?
Mm-hmm. I play the Bridgestone Tour BRX. It just fits best for my swing and my game. The matter of spin, the ball flight that it produces when I swing, and I really, when I ball test, I like to test it in the wind. So especially crosswinds, I like to know when I'm hitting it solid that it's going to move this certain amount. And downwind, if you have a shot over water, that it's going to carry that distance that I know. I've tested so many golf balls, but this one has been the best match for my swing. And looking forward to the new technology and testing more out.
Yeah, if we, you know, we're going to see in a week or so to do this kind of testing. But, like, the first question I'm going to ask you is, I guess I can ask it now, is what are you kind of looking for? More for your golf ball, like if you could tweak something, what are you kind of looking for?
Well, I think everybody looks for a little bit more distance,
right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, exactly. You don't really need it, but it can always help. Yeah.
It's always a bonus if it
is. The guy's the same way. Tiger, we're talking to, and he's like, you know, it'd be nice to kind of pop it a little bit longer. You know, people are looking at ball speeds even more now than even 5 or 6 years ago. So, yeah, distance is always kind of in the back of our mind. And when we're building that core in the ball, we're a rubber company, Bridgestone, so we're trying to make it faster, but then not overspin it so you can actually control it.
Yeah, exactly. It's important to have that balance. Of course, distance is super important, but it's, for me, it's definitely spin, especially on the windy days. Like even out there, it's, you know, it's a matter of knowing your ball flight and those crosswinds and having that control when needed.
Right.
And would you say that's particularly important too in majors and US Open, you know, playing pebble where the course conditions are really hard? How important is having a ball where you know you can control well to perform well in those tournaments?
It's very important. Every week it is, but especially on majors, you know, you get the firmer greens, you get harder conditions like pebble can get super windy. So it's definitely important to know that spin of your golf ball. And at the same time, you don't want too firm of one because the greens will be firmer. So you want it to be able to react and hit softly. But that's a matter of ball testing. That's why it needs to be done.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's kind of a few more questions here. We don't want to take up too much of your time, but moving away from maybe golf and the golf balls, what are you kind of watching lately? It's a long season out there. Are there some shows or movies
I need some
that
recommendations.
You're kind of addicted to? Yeah.
Oh,
books?
No.
Okay. If you were into books, I have a long list of recs, but we can go to shows if that's more.
I need show recommendations too. I mean, I'm big on Yellowstone. I've been watching that. Oh, I was a little bit behind, so.
Fred loves Yellowstone
too. Yeah, we talked about that.
So I've been trying to pick up on that. Watched Dexter during COVID, Blacklist during COVID. I haven't watched anything like new though.
Yeah.
So I'm always.
You got to watch Severance. That's a great show. You have Severance? Apple TV?
Yeah. No.
Okay. Severance is such a good one. It's like an original show of, like, you know, their brain is separated when they walk in the door. It's hard to explain, but that was my favorite show of last year.
Okay.
Like, by far. It just won a bunch of awards too. So Severance is great. Ben Stiller was like the director. It's really good.
Okay.
Severance. Yeah. Prison Break
was one of
my favorite shows.
Isn't that
an old show? It is old. I mean, I don't watch a lot of shows, but that's one that was really good. I just, I'm starting to, my fiance loves to watch movies, so I've been trying to watch more movies. I just watched The Woman King by Viola Davis, she stars in it.
Okay.
It's so, so good. It came out in theaters, and now it's like you can rent it on like Amazon Prime or whatever. Okay. But
I'm going to start making
it super good.
Everything All at Once was a great movie.
Oh, yeah.
That was so good. Mm-hmm. That was my favorite movie.
I should have asked you guys this question.
Yeah, exactly. We just teed it up so we can tell you what we like.
Talk about us, you know.
No. Yeah.
Perfect. We'll talk about this
later. Any guilty pleasure shows you stream, like a Friends or Seinfeld or like, you know, Housewives of Atlanta or something like that.
I know, it's so bad. I am into the bad dating reality shows.
Oh, boy.
They're entertaining.
Bachelor just started.
Oh, okay.
But I got it recorded. Yeah. It's just so bad that it's funny.
I agree.
I'm like, I don't have to have my mind on, you know? Yeah. I'm always so used to being on and like focused. I'm just like, oh, I can just put it on. I can look at my phone if I want.
Yeah, exactly.
And then tune in and be like, oh my gosh, what'd I miss?
Yeah.
So. The answer is you probably didn't miss much if you're like watching the Kardashians.
Exactly. Instagram.
Some kind of argument, and the person didn't apologize.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Lexi, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. It's always a pleasure. It feels like a great conversation just chatting and catching up.
Always.
So best of luck this year, and thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you. Guys.
We'll be rooting for you.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Well, that was incredible to talk with Lexi. I mean, such a high caliber player, currently ranked 7 in the world. She's had 15 wins, 1 major. And it was nice just to have a chill conversation with her. I mean, we started out talking about, you know, her family matches in the off season with her two brothers, Curtis and Nick. I think she was talking about all the different trash talking that was going on. And the guys seemed to do most of that trash talking.
Yeah. There's so much talent in that family. Lexi kind of pulls it all that we think about, but those two guys are definitely so accomplished in their golf as well. And I can only imagine how crazy those rounds are when they play and get the trash talking going. So tons of talent in that family. And then we forget Lexi's 28 years old.
I know.
I mean, she feels like she's been out there for so long. She's played in so many Solheim Cups and so many majors. It was fun talking about the Solheim Cup and how much that tournament means to her.
Yeah, and it's crazy. I quit soccer at 12 and kind of started playing golf more seriously, and that's the same age she qualified for the Women's Open.
The US Open.
And she's been my role model, you know, ever since I started playing, and it's just crazy that she's just 5 years older than me, but, I mean, has just accomplished so many things, and it was just such an honor just to talk to her and just processing all of that is just wild, just how good she is and how young she still is.
12 years old playing in a major, it still sounds ridiculous to say, because I mean I'm trying to think of like what I was doing when I was 12. I was like playing like JV basketball and baseball, maybe.
Exactly.
I mean, it's unbelievable to think, like, I was trying to go home and play like Sega Saturn, you know, and here she was playing in a major, just wild. And then also to see kind of the loop back, and her first tournament as a major was at Pine Needles, and to get back there and play again, you know, almost, you know, 10 years later was pretty crazy, or more than 10 years actually. So wild to kind of see how many she's played, and I mean, she's not even 30. And talking about all the Solheim Cups and all the majors that she's played in is pretty wild. Also hearing her talk about her golf ball, you know, and what it kind of needs to do. We're about to have some like major testing with her coming up in the next few weeks. We have some stuff scheduled to where we're going to go down and see her and work towards the 2024 golf ball. So it was fun hearing her talk about like what she needs in the future and kind of what that golf ball delivers for her on the course.
Yeah, and I think it's indicative just in her stats. I mean, she's number 2 in greens in regulation, and her average driving distance, 272 yards, 8 on that list. So it just shows how good her ball striking is, and it's indicative because she has a ball that fits her game.
Yeah, she talked about control. You know, she talked about spin a lot and how controlling the golf ball is so important. I mean, obviously she said distance. Distance is totally a part of her skill set that she's very, you know, you mentioned she's in the top 10 in driving the ball, also while leading greens and reg, which is amazing. So, you know, but spin control, flighting the ball in windy condition, crosswinds, those are things we look at when we're testing with her and make sure the next iteration of the golf ball still delivers those things. So really excited about the proto ball testing we have with her in the next few weeks. And as we kind of go through the podcast in the next few weeks, I'll definitely kind of keep you guys up to date on kind of what we're doing. We have a lot of players kind of lined up. Next week, we're going to fly to Oklahoma and see some guys. We have Jason Day we're doing testing with, and then the following week we're going to be in Jupiter testing a couple players. Wink, wink.
given the listeners some food for thought there.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, Amelia, let's let you get on your flight and
Thank
get out
you,
of here.
Adam.
And it sounds like it was a fun, successful trip. Congrats again on the W for Wake and good play from you. So.
Thank you, Adam. And until next time on another golf podcast presented by Bridgestone.
Another Golf Podcast is presented by Bridgestone's new line of Tour B golf balls with Reactive IQ cover. Reactive IQ is a smart cover technology that reacts to the force of impact. It rebounds quickly on tee shots, delivering explosive velocity and increased distance. And around the green, the Reactive IQ cover stays on the face longer, providing more spin and control. Bridgestone Golf is the pioneer and industry leader in ball fitting, and the four new models of Tour B are designed to ensure every golfer is playing the right ball for their game. The Tour BX and XS models are ideal for players with driver swing speeds over 105 miles per hour, and the RX and RXS were created for golfers with driver swing speeds under 105 miles per hour. To find the right ball for your game, go to BridgestoneGolf.com and click Find My Ball to go through the online ball selector guide. Bridgestone Golf, the number one ball fitter in golf.